We all like a good showdown, don't we? Whether it's some sporting showdown, whether it's the final of the X Factor where you've got two left, whether it's Prime Minister's Question Time, whether it's Simon versus Steve in a theology off, we always like a big showdown. So we're going to have a couple of showdowns right now. So I need a couple of volunteers, and just to help with bribery, Jeff brought some sweets down, which always helps with bribery. Come on then, yep, hands straight up. Yep, come on, you can come as well. Right, this is what we're going to do, okay? Who's in charge of health and safety in the church? You take that? And you take that. And I'll take this. So, it's the big showdown. What's your name?
Showdown.
And what's your name?
Teresa.
Great. So these two, man up. Not man on man, that's not right, is it? Woman on woman. Here we go. Right, I want you to stand just here. So you stand on there. And you stand on there. Okay, right. Who should we pick? Okay. You see Chris? Give us a wave, Chris. Just there. Right, your aim, you've got to get the ball as close to Chris as you can. Okay? So don't worry about these guys, they're fine. Crash helmets are an optional extra. So, got to get them as close as you can, so you get top marks if Chris can catch it without hitting anybody else. Okay? Apologies in advance, anybody. Right, off you go. Oh, very impressive. Right, you want to come and stand on there? Come stand on here? Very impressive. So, same again. Can you get that to Chris? Oh, no, that was very impressive. Very impressive. Go a bit further forward. Oh, that was good. That was Chris's fault for not being able to catch. Okay, give him a clap. Very good. Excellent. Well done. Go sit down. Okay, now, maybe a couple more who are a little bit older. Maybe who are called Ella. And Chappers, come and help me as well. I used to be a teacher at Redcliffe, and so I have to try and stitch up former students. Right, one for you. One for you. Okay, you've got to get it to Baranja up there. Okay, so again, it's the big showdown. Who do you think is going to win? Tomlinson versus Chaplin. Here we go. Very impressive. Very impressive. Oh, and it works as well. Very good. Rolling goes, you sit down. So what we see in the Bible, there was this guy called Elijah. And Elijah was one of those people who, on certain days, could be the happiest guy around, and everybody loved his company, and at other times, would just be the kind of fella that you really don't want to spend any time with, if you want to be in a good mood. And he was getting sick and tired of the fact that the people of God, those people who were supposed to be God's followers, had turned their backs on God, and had started worshipping pretty much gods that they'd made for themselves. When it talks about those prophets of Baal, Baal was pretty much just, they'd got a bit of wood, they'd made themselves a god, and they'd bow down to it. Sounds stupid, but that's what they were doing. And so, what he does is, he confronts the king. We saw that in verse 18. I've not made trouble for Israel, Elijah replied, but you and your father's family have. You've abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel. What Elijah has got in mind is the bonfire showdown. Verse 21, Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Elijah wants to set up this great showdown. And he wants to set it up using a bonfire. I don't know how many of you guys went to a bonfire over this weekend. I got it completely wrong in that I set up for our youth group to go to a bonfire next Friday. And there aren't any. So we're going to go bowling instead. I just set fire to something there. But like health and safety. But he set up this big thing where he was going to put up the God of the Bible against the God of Baal. And I don't know what your bonfires are like. You show up and maybe the fire's already going and there's some fireworks as well. What Elijah had in mind was a whole lot bigger than anything for that. I'm the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bowls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I'll prepare the other bowl and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, I'll call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. Whoever's bonfire lights first, that's the God who wins this showdown. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is the question that Elijah says to them. How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Because every day in our lives, there is a showdown for our hearts. There is a battle that's going on for our affections, for our attention, for where we put our life. Every day there is a showdown. And the question that we need to answer is, will Jesus win or will something else win? Whatever that something else is, whether it's family, whether it's shopping, whether it's sport, whatever it may be, the question is always, who will win the showdown between Jesus and stuff? And what we're going to see as we look into this story in a few moments' time is that actually there is only one winner, and there will be only one winner. And that what we need to say is that, are we on that winning team? Are we the ones who will be celebrating with Jesus? Or are we the ones who will be coming under Jesus, the judgment of Jesus? The Bible is all about two positions, and what we need to answer for ourselves today is, which position are we in? Are we in the winning side with Jesus, or are we coming under his judgment because of the way that we live our lives? So, we're going to sing again, and we're going to sing a song that really, I think if Elijah was here today, he would love this song, because in a minute we're going to sing, "Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands." And it speaks to us of the power that Jesus has, and that we'll see in our story today. Okay, right, I want you to picture the scene. We're currently on the top of Mount Carmel. It's a bit chilly because it's a big mountain, and it's pretty much all of you against me. All of you against me. This is the big showdown. 450 false prophets, sorry, and me, who knows what he's talking about. Okay, so we've got this big showdown, and Elijah has said it's all about this one thing: which God will win. This big showdown. Who is more important? The God of heaven, the Lord, or Baal? This false God that you've created, a God that you've made in your own image. And so everything is set up. The altar for Baal to do his stuff is ready, and Elijah says, "Go." And they start doing their thing. They start saying their prayers and they start doing their little dancing. And Elijah begins to do what, I'll be honest, I'd be tempted to do if I was there as well. He starts making fun of them. He sets up his deck chair and he sits down and he's there, and you can see for yourself in verse 26-27. They're all doing their dancing. He says in verse 27, "At noon, Elijah began to talk them. 'Shout louder,' he said. 'Surely he is a god. Perhaps he's deep in thought or busy or travelling. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened.'" All these guys dancing around, trying to get this piece of wood to light other pieces of wood. I mean, seriously. And Elijah's there saying, "What are you doing? What are you doing, you bunch of Muppets? What are you doing?" But then it starts to get a little bit more serious. You see the words in the next verse, verse 28. "So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed." It showed, didn't it, the power that this false god, this false idea, had over them. Don't let anybody ever, ever, ever tell you that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. These guys sincerely believed what they were doing, enough to be cutting themselves in worship of their God. It only matters that you're worshipping the truth, not that you're sincere about it. So these things are getting pretty horrible, and Elijah's there, and I imagine that maybe changed his expression slightly as he began to see the seriousness of what these guys were doing. But after what would have been most of the day of these guys trying to get their God to light this sacrifice, and absolutely nothing happening, Elijah said, "Right, now it's my turn. But we're going to make things a little bit more interesting. I've built my bonfire. My bonfire's ready to go. I've done what I'm supposed to do. I was in the Boy Scouts. I know how to build a fire. But actually, we're going to make this a little bit more interesting." And so he sends off some fellas to get a big bottle, a big jar, and fill it with water. Verse 33, "Fill four large jars with water and put it on the offering and on the wood." Now, I checked the Hebrew this week. That word translated water hasn't been mistranslated, and it's really paraffin. This really was water. So they get all this water and they pour it on the bonfire. Now, I've got a little tip for you. You can write this down. If you're going to light a bonfire, don't put water on it. It doesn't mix very well. And then he goes and gets another one, another bottle of water, and pours that on it as well. And then just to show off, he goes back again, third lot, and pours that all over the bonfire. So we've got the wood, we've got the meat, and we've got three massive canisters of water. So much so that the health and safety trench that they built around the edge was full of water. Now, I'll be honest, this is going to take more than a couple of matches to get this thing lit. But what was Elijah doing? Elijah knew just how great his big God was. He didn't know what a submarine was, but he would have echoed the words of that song. And he knew that God had empowered him at that moment to be the person through whom God would display just how big he was. The false God had done absolutely nothing, but now the real God was going to show who he was. Verse 36. After all his fun and his games, after all his mocking and all his showing off with the water, Elijah comes before God. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and I've done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again." How does he come to God? Well, he comes to God humbly, and he comes to God knowing that everything that is about to happen is all about him. I'll be honest, if I'd covered a bonfire with three massive canisters of water and it took light, I'd expect a round of applause. But Elijah, he knows, much more holy than I am, he knows that it's all about the Lord, and he wants everything that's happening to point towards God. And it's a lesson for us as well. Does everything that we do, everything that is good in our life, does it point towards Jesus? And then, in the ultimate display of bonfire night, verse 38, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench." To the God who built the universe through the power of his word, was a little bit of water going to get in the way? Not a chance. He was displaying exactly who he was. And what's the reaction? When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate. They fell flat on the ground before God. And the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The showdown had been so one-sided. So one-sided. That there wasn't even a debate as to who the winner was. The false God was nothing. But the Lord, the God of heaven, was everything. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, who is our God? Who is our God? Because you see, that fire that fell from heaven, that fire that came and burned up the sacrifice and even burned up the water, that judgment fire from God will fall on everybody who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is the wonderful truth of the gospel. The wonderful truth that when Jesus was on that cross, he was taking that judgment. It was as if he was saying that I will turn away from God for you so that you can come towards God. There was that terrible moment of separation when darkness fell and the Lord turned his face away from Jesus. And they were separated so that we could be brought together. You see, so often, and I do this in my own life as well, we live as if God doesn't exist. Every time that we stuff up, every time that we do something that we know we shouldn't be doing, we're basically saying to God, "God, it'd be better if you didn't exist." We're going for those false gods. We may not call them Baal, we may not bow down to a stick of wood, but we know those things that take our attention and actually stir our emotions far more than the God of the Bible does. See, this is where everything comes down to one single thing. Who is our God? In a sense, it was obvious on the mountain who was God. It was the God who burned up the sacrifice, who started this amazing bonfire. But what is it that we look to. You see, the Jews were people who always looked back to then be able to look forward. So they looked back, certainly in the short term, to the moment God displayed his power on Mount Carmel. But more than that, they always looked back to the Exodus when God rescued them, so that they then have the strength to go forward. And as Christians, we look back to the cross. So you may be saying, well, actually, if God set fire to a water-soaked bonfire, I'd believe in him. But he doesn't seem to do that nowadays, which is why I didn't do a visual aid for you this morning. But actually, how do we know who God is? How do we know what he thinks of us? How do we know how we are supposed to relate to him? Where we look back to the cross. And this is God's demonstration. And this is where we say, this is our God. The God who emptied himself in all his love and bled for our helpless race. I hope you never, ever, ever think that the people who stand up here are any better than the people who sit down here. We're simply people who know that Jesus has saved us. We're people who know that we're far worse than you guys, but that we've been saved by Jesus. And that's the question we finish with this morning. Have you been saved by Jesus? Have you allowed him to be the God that he is? It seems a stupid question when you put it like that, doesn't it? Just as it was stupid, they were pitting God against a stick of wood. But the question is Jesus the God of your life? Not just in your head, not just in your head, but in your heart. Is he the one who determines how you live your life? Is he the one who you know has secured your future? And is he the one that when it comes to any kind of showdown in your life, is always, always, always the winner? Let's pray together. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are God. We thank you that you are perfect, you are holy, you are majestic, you are mighty. And yet we thank you that because of Jesus, because of his sacrifice, we can come to you and call you Father. Thank you, Jesus, for what you went through for us. Thank you that you took that judgment that we deserve. Thank you that you took on the powers of evil, the powers of darkness, and you won. And thank you that for all of us who know and trust you, we have that perfect future awaiting us. Father, I pray for each person here today. I thank you for this church. I thank you for all that it means to me and to us at Headley Park. Father, I thank you for the gospel witness. But I pray for each person here that we would know deep down in our hearts that you are real and that there is nothing that compares to you. Father, we want life to the full. We want to understand how life works. We want to know the truth of this universe. And I thank you that we can find that in Jesus. Father, thrill us with your goodness, we pray. For we ask it in the name of Jesus and by the power of your Spirit. Amen.